So, Hare Krishna,
all glories to Srila Prabhupada. From my side, I'm going to give a little introduction here. What is going on? What is the event that brings us together today? A few weeks ago, I was invited or asked by Singheshwar Prabhu, who everyone in ISKCON Malaysia knows, and if they don't know, they should know, to speak something about my memories of the time that I was in Malaysia. Presumably he asked you also to do that. I don't know. So anyway, I did that. And in the course of speaking, naturally, I spoke about yourself, Maharaj, because we were there together in Malaysia during the 1980s. Then when that was released, that video of myself speaking about my memories in Malaysia, one of my disciples in Brisbane, Australia, said that, well, it would be nice to get your memories also of the time that you spent in Malaysia. And then I said, well, why don't you ask Janananda Maharaj's disciples there to arrange? Maybe we could speak together about it. So that is happening now. For the sake of my disciples, who may not be very familiar with you, I just like to introduce you that when they allowed me to join in 1975 in Bhaktivedanta Manor near to London, one of the senior devotees there was Janananda Maharaj. In those days, a senior devotee meant about 3 or 4 years in the movement, because anyone more senior than that was only 5 or 6 years in the movement, and they'd already gone somewhere else. So practically from the beginning of my attempts in Krishna consciousness, I was associated with Janananda Maharaj. And one of the very first things I remember was seeing you dancing in Mangalati with that look of bliss on your face, which is the same look that you have now when you dance in Mangalati and any other time in Kirtan. And that look just stuck with me all these years. And then in Bhaktivedanta Manor, when I was very young, very early there, you spent time with me, talking to me. And anyway, although you're a senior to me, you took me in as a friend, like a younger brother. And then I went off somewhere and you went off somewhere. But then we joined together again, and we spent quite some time together in the 1980s in Malaysia. And that was really a high point of my being there for myself, that I was able to have that extended association with you. Yourself. So anyway, you're supposed to talk about your memories of Malaysia in the 1980s, and that inspires the devotees who are working hard in Malaysia. I see one of the smiling faces there is Malini Preeti Devi Dasi, JPS. She's smiling even more now. And I got to know about her existence when she commented on a talk I gave on distributing books. She's a book distributor. So I think they're all be very happy to learn about that. I see a Gokula Rani.
Gokula Rani is in France.
I see, because there was Gokula Rani in England from Australia, right?
Correct. She's still there.
She married Narahari.
You got it. I see them every year when I go there, but I didn't go
fast. Yeah, very, very. Narahari's in a class of his own. He's one of the great old figures of one of the British exports to the world, and on behalf of the Hare Krishna.
Captured by an Aussie girl.
So, it's over to you. You have to inspire all the devotees, all your disciples who are here, and all the devotees from Malaysia who are very eager to
There's
hear about.
There's a lot of Malaysian devotees here. Malini is there. Harsharan is there, Vaishnava Kripa is there, Kalesh is there, you must remember.
Kalesh, Kalesh, one of the great old figures of the Malaysian Yatra.
Old figure is the right word for it. He's getting old now.
Yeah, yeah. He was, I mean, he was the same age group as us, practically, just a few years younger. I mean, say practically the same age as me, I think.
He's not much younger.
Not much younger, yeah.
I see Parabrahma's there. He's another old, one of our old boys. Some of the new ones are there. Younger devotees are there online today. Tattavit Prabhu's there. He's been such a, you could say, inspiration for the Malaysian Yatra all these 50 years, 40 years, whatever it is, and he's still giving everything. So
Jai,
wonderful to see you online.
One of the very first devotees in Malaysia. Yeah,
one of the early bunch.
And Mataji, Shanti Rupa.
Shanti Rupa's there. Shanti Bardhan is there. I don't know if you know Shanti. He's been another stalwart the last 30 or 40 years.
No, because the last time I was in Malaysia was 1989. I think I'm not sure if I'd taken, so I think maybe I just taken sannyas. And then I went again a few years ago because I was visiting Singapore. I went on Friday afternoon, did a program in Johor Bahru, and came back on Saturday morning. And apart from that, I haven't been in Malaysia since 1989.
Amazing. Wow, wonderful. Well, thank you, Maharaj.
How did you end up in Malaysia anyway?
Okay,
come on, tell us. Tell us from the beginning.
Okay, we'll kick off with that one. well, after Maharaj, then Alapati Prabhu left England. When did you leave England? 70 what?
77. It was, I remember the date, August the 22nd, 1977. I went with Trivikram Maharaj to India.
Trivikram Maharaj? So that was before Prabhupada.
I'd been to India the year before. You were also there. I think that was the first time you went to India in 1976, was it? We went to the Mayapur Festival. And then I went to stay in 19 with the idea of staying in 1977. So practically, I left the British Yatra in 1977, just shortly before Srila Prabhupada left this world.
I remember Maharaj. Yeah, you used to have sometimes you used to have problems with your legs in England. I remember. Is that right?
Right. That's why I left England, because I was getting severe physical problems from the cold and the wet. Which probably wasn't made much better by living in Sankirtan vans at sub-zero temperatures at night and then going out in the cold all day and eating dried fruit as our diet. It was a little unhealthy.
Yeah, very healthy. Taking a nice ice cold bath before going out into the ice cold weather.
The only sense gratification was standing outside some store where there's
marks
warm,
and sparks. Marks
the warm air is the warm air is coming out. That was our only sense gratification of that.
Yeah, those were days, but they make a man of a boy, sometimes they say it. That type of austerity for Prabhupada, I mean, it was such a, in the heart you felt some completely, I mean, it was just so satisfying, I would say.
Yeah.
For encouragement for us. It certainly, you know, spiritually speaking, without that mercy of being able to perform those kind of sacrifices, and it was so important. Maybe the nature may change, but the principle of sacrifice is absolutely, I mean, it's inseparable from progress in spiritual life. But you asked the question, Maharaj. Okay, so we'll start there. How did I end up in Malaysia? And not in my wildest dreams did I really think of Malaysia. The only thoughts I had of Malaysia in my life before going there, or just before going there, were the fact that I used to like to collect Malaysian postage stamps. So that was when I was a kid.
Other than that,
I didn't really know where Malaysia was, like many people. I knew, but most people don't even know. Most people think Malaysia is a country in Africa.
really?
Yeah, well, there's a country called Malawi, and they kind of mix the two up, you know.
I see. It's like Thailand and Taiwan.
You know, where are these places?
Slovenia, Slovakia.
Yeah, they're all the same, you know. It's like
all those non-British people.
Anywhere outside of England is like
Wales, and Scotland.
You know, where the whatever the Aborigines live or something. The uncivilized races. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, okay, so you must have spoken whatever you've spoken already about Malaysia. So, okay, well, it started like this. As far as I can remember, I was in England. I'd been in Africa for quite a while, and one or two other movements had taken place, starting in center in England and stuff. And then in 1982, in March 1982, Jaya Tirtha Prabhu, whatever, Maharaj at that time, I think, supposedly, disappeared, left ISKCON and went into another world, basically speaking of his own speculation. And he
Hallucinations.
Okay, I didn't want to say the word, but there we go. Hallucinations. So ended up with a change of the guards, so to speak, you know, in Buckingham Palace. I mean, in Bhaktivedanta Manor, and we had Bhagavan Prabhu as our GBC by kind of choice. And initially, things were really difficult. I mean, you can't imagine how difficult it was to keep the show on the road. And I was one of the few senior devotees who was still kind of able to stand on two feet, basically. So it was the temple he made me TP in London, but somehow or another.
In Soho or in the manor?
In Soho. And it was a challenging time. That's another subject which isn't really our subject today. But to cut the long story short, after some time, whatever reason it was, Krishna had his plans, and fallen that I am. And I couldn't really relate to the style of management. It was very different to Jaya Tirtha. Mm. And after some time, it became obvious I wasn't really following suit, as we say, with the expectations or the need of the day. And so I kind of became lost for service after some time. And I tried different things. He was trying to get me to, fit the cut, but it wasn't working. And anyway, I ended up, basically speaking, just wondering, really, where am I going to go here? After about a year, I was kind of quite perplexed about, what to do, to be honest. And it wasn't a very healthy situation I was in. I ended up really working with Amita. I'm sure you well know and remember Amita.
Of course. How can one of the great unforgettable characters
of one of the Maharati of our Sangatan in the 70s in the UK.
He's still distributing books in England by his company.
Yeah, amongst other things, but it doesn't go out of the blood, you know. I mean, one of the things, I gave initiation yesterday on Zoom to some devotees in Malaysia. One of them was from Johor. One of the devotee hosting it, Shiva Chaitanya Prabhu, who is one of our co-presidents there, he said that was his first memory of me, is encouraging him, look, wherever you go, just take books with you, you know? You're not going to distribute books if you don't have any. Take them with you. So wherever he was going at that time, he would carry some of Prabhupada's books. So that was our mood. I mean, basically speaking, our movement is built on books as a foundation, in a sense, of our growth in our movement. So book distribution was Amita, is in his blood. And once it gets in your blood, if you can get it in your blood when you're a youngster in devotional service, it sticks. It can come anytime, but especially if you're young, it sticks with you. It's the most valuable, you could say, practical asset. Is the desire to see Srila Prabhupada's books distributed widely in all languages of the world. So that was, I think when you joined Maharaj, we were doing other things, but primarily the idea was to distribute lots of books. And there were other techniques and this and that, but the book distribution was so important. So here's a good example of Amita. I mean, he's probably 70 years old now, and he's still distributing books in a way which he can do it. He does it online. He does it through, you know, professional sales techniques, etc. But he's still doing it. And that's the principle, to somehow or another be an instrument. This movement is to be, an honest, sincere instrument for the pleasure of Prabhupada. So in the beginning, this was like, we didn't even think about it. We just did it, you know, just, there was nothing else to do, you know. Little, honestly speaking, it was Sankirtan or Sankirtan. Unless you were asked to do something else, you know, that was what it was. You didn't really sort of go around saying, oh, complaining or thinking of something else. It wasn't the movement for you if you were like that, but it was really a Sankirtan. It is still a Sankirtan movement. It always will be. That's the real movement of ISKCON, Sankirtan. Anyway, I ended up being his assistant. He had already started. This is now we're beginning of 84, middle of 84. No, 83, not 84. 83, beginning of 83, middle of 83. I started to, I became his assistant, really, in the mail order department at Chaitanya College. Where he had set up his office there, and he had a big sort of storeroom. So I was sitting there just helping him. He started also the folk program. I don't know that term now. Kind of a congregational program. We didn't have anything like that before, really, mainly amongst the English people. So I was a little bit involved in that, but not that much, but something in the folk program. And I was helping Amita in the storeroom there, posting, licking stamps. In those days, we licked the stamps, sticking them on envelopes, writing the addresses, and going to the post office and posting boxes and envelopes all over the place. A very good use for a useless person like me.
That's the typical kind of thing you would say, which endears you to everyone. Whoops, the internet connection.
Hare Krishna. So anyway, there we were. I really didn't know what to do. I know it wasn't like I was thinking this is it for the rest of my life, sitting in this weird office room and sticking envelopes and things and stamps and stuff. And you know, but somehow or another, quite a funny thing was, I can't remember names, but several people told me that their first contact with Krishna consciousness was in that office when I was sat there. Talking to them, and later on full-time devotees at the manor or something. But anyway, that's besides the point. I had another sort of, something else had to happen. So it so happened that towards the end of 83, well, let's not be dishonest, but you know, or sometime in 83, Hansa Dutta, who was the GBC for Malaysia, also had some misunderstandings or misbehavior or whatever you want to call it, and was removed officially as the GBC of Malaysia and other countries in that area, of course. So anyway, Prabhu Vishnu and Prabhu, who was then a Maharaj, had kind of been a little bit involved going and coming to Malaysia during Hansa Dutta's time, sometimes a little bit also, and even before. He had some connections there. We had a wonderful godbrother living
in Malaysia. Sharan.
Ramcharan Prabhu.
With his good wife.
Left Janaki. Malaysia. He left Malaysia in 83, just around about the time when Hansa Dutta was having his differences of opinion with the GBC and so on and so forth. And he went back to England. So I was sometimes in touch with him. I knew him when he joined in the 70s, 76 or something. And so I met him in England a little bit too. He came back. He couldn't take it the way Hansa Dutta was behaving. And so he was back there. But we had another wonderful godbrother there. And who recently passed.
Oh, of course.
None other than our dear beloved Bhakti Vijayendra Nandana Maharaj, Vijayendra Kumar, who was a very close friend of mine, in a sense, because we joined together in 1972. We joined at the same time in the beginning of 72. I met him in 71 also when he was coming as a guest, and I was coming as a guest. That's another story. We'll leave that for another time. But he was also in Malaysia. So Prabhavishnu, all part of the old team, was in going to Malaysia. And then after Hansaduta left, of course, then Jayapataka Maharaj took some responsibility there as kind of coming in as GBC. And Prabhavishnu was naturally in that zone. And I think you were too, Maharaj, in that zone of Jayapataka Maharaj. And Prabhavishnu was kind of like, I suppose you could say, acting regional secretary.
Yeah, 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 yeah. He was made the regional secretary. Yeah.
Yeah. So he
was already regional secretary for Nepal, Bihar, Bangladesh, Burma, and Thailand. So it was natural that he would become Malaysia also. Yeah.
Next door neighbor, Africa. Yeah. Now, Africa's next to Thailand, isn't it? no, not quite. I just told it from an ignorant English, proud Englishman's point of view. Anyway, no. So then what happened is that Prabhavishnu came to England. Now, one of the reasons he came, besides his obvious connections of family and devotion and so on, was because he knew that Ram Charan had come back to the UK. And he came there with the intention of trying to encourage Ram Charan to please think about coming back with his beloved wife, Janaki. And they were both stalwart preachers, and I know Tathavit and anyone else from that era who's online today. Singeshwar Prabhu may be there or not, I don't know, but he will also, I'm sure, remember very, very much to his heart the contribution, or the, not just a contribution, basically the building foundation of Ayutthaya in Malaysia was Ram Charan Prabhu and his wife. They did so much service there in the late 70s, early 80s, incredible service to build up, made for, you could say, for that service almost. So wonderful, devotee. Of course, he's from Malaysia originally, Ram Charan. So then Prabhavishnu Maharaj came to England with to meet them and to try to encourage them, and a few other things too. So he also came to Chaitanya College, and so he met me or whatever. And seeing that I wasn't really, didn't look like I was as engaged as I could be, or let's say engaged in a service which was perhaps as much as you'd expect of an older devotee, as Maharaj said earlier on. And so he preached to me, why don't you come to Malaysia? I've got responsibility there now. Why don't you come and join us? You know, there's not so many devotees left. Most of them went off with Hansaduta. I think there was only about, well, in the little temple which they had in Malaysia at that time, there was probably only half a dozen devotees. And then there were devotees living outside, like Tathavit Prabhu and others. But in the temple, there was just a handful of devotees were there. And so he encouraged me, why don't you come? You can make a new start, you know, make a new start. I was in white at that time, because anyway, that's another story. I've been married. And so he's encouraged me to come. So how to come? Well, he said, get some money together and come. So I thought, well, okay, it can't be worse than my present situation. And I started to kind of think about Malaysia. I'd been in Africa, in the tropics. I was thinking of, all the exotic fruits maybe. And thinking of the weather, very nice
sunshine,
sunshine, and warm air. And then I started looking a few things up about Malaysia, and I saw South India and Italy and dosa and sambar and so on and so forth. I thought, well, that sounds attractive. I wasn't thinking so much of the preaching, I was thinking, satisfying my senses, and I was sort of making a little kind of like picture of, tropical paradise. So anyway, it so happened that, anyway, again, it's a lot of things I could say, but I had a little bit of money from selling a car, which I got for nothing. And it was just enough to buy a one-way ticket. In those days, you could buy one-way tickets. They never check you for returns. So I bought a one-way ticket to Kuala Lumpur from London. I think it was on Aeroflot, but I can't remember. I think it was Aeroflot. We used to fly mostly on Aeroflot. That's the, if you don't know what that is, that's the Russian national airline. I guess it still is. And you take your chances when you fly on Aeroflot. But we used to go through Moscow. And I remember that Very often when I go through Moscow, and probably on that journey too, but we'd always take Russian books, you know, because in those days, you know, that Russia was not open. We're talking 83, 80 beginning. I left England to go to Malaysia right at the beginning of 84. And it's interesting because Bhagavan at that time said to me, well, before I left, he said, look, Jnanananda, it's a big world. You can go anywhere you like. He said, and I said, okay. And of course, then they said, initially he was going to finance me to get out of there, but eventually he didn't. I had to find the money. But anyway, he said I could go. So off I went. And I think it's about the 4th of January when I left, something like that, 84. And I flew in and dropped a few books off in the Moscow airport. You know, it was very risky. We used to drop books in various hidden spots in the airport there, Russian books. And then I went on to Kuala Lumpur, and I arrived at the airport. It is the old airport in Subang, not the oldest, but that was the older than what it is now. And Bhakti Vijendra Maharaj picked me up. He'd just taken sannyas a few months before from Jayapataka Maharaj. So he picked me up at the airport. And anyone from Malaysia, I mean, Bhakti Vijendra Maharaj is like practically like the patron saint of ISKCON Malaysia. He's like, everybody loves him. He's just, you know, we used to call him Malaysia Maharaj. I didn't do that, but the other devotees call him Malaysia Maharaj.
Sometimes they called him Uncle Maharaj.
Uncle Maharaj. In Malaysia, they call him Uncle Maharaj. And outside of Malaysia, they call him Malaysia Maharaj. How's Malaysia Maharaj? The words would say wherever you go. How's our Malaysia Maharaj? How's he doing? And so he picked me up at the airport, and, you know, it's so jolly. It's like meeting each other again. I guess we hadn't met since, I don't know. He did come a little bit to Europe, but I don't think I was there when he came. Probably 5 or 6 years we had met or something, maybe like that. So it was very wonderful to see him again. You know, he wasn't so rotund. Is that how you pronounce it? He wasn't so rotund in those days. He was a little slimmer. He was quite well built. And anyway, he picked me up. And I remember the first thing I remember about Malaysia, other than that, was seeing a sign, Sahaja. And I thought, Sahaja.
Right,
this is a country of Sahajas. He laughed. So then we drove to the little temple, and it was in a place called Taman Kanagapuram, in a Tamil community. It's like a Tamil area. Many areas in Kuala Lumpur were owned originally by Tamilians or Tamil groups, and this was one of them, Taman Kanagapuram. And they had a little house there because the previous house, which had been Jalan Anak Gasing, which was where the Hansa Dudas group were still staying there, was a very active number of devotees were there. So the ISKCON devotees had to move out of there, and they moved to this little house in Kanagapuram. There was only a handful there. I can't even remember their names. I know Sudeshna was there, a German devotee.
Right, yeah.
He's now at the manor. He was there, and he was distributing books every day. If you're a lone ranger, you go on his own every day and just try to distribute books, going shop to shop. Now, Kuala Lumpur in those days, in 80, or beginning of 84, Maharaj was there, you remember. It was still much more, what would we say, natural than it is now. And there's the main street from Kanagapuram to the city. It is called Jalan Klang Lama. And Jalan Klang Lama was like, it was almost like a village all the way to the city. You remember that? Like wooden shacks and a few brick buildings. It was
kind of... Yeah, well, really, I remember the general scene, yeah.
Yeah, country, like trees everywhere. And we were really on the edge of the city, practically speaking. Where we were staying there. And so anyway, that was that. Then he would go out, and then there was one nice Indian devotee, Radha Krishna, I can't remember his name. And there was another Indian devotee doing the puja. I should have remembered his name, I've forgotten. And then there was Bhakti Vijendra Maharaj. You were there at that time. Were you there at that time, January 84? I think you were.
I don't remember. Maybe I joined. I don't remember anything before the present temple, although maybe I was there before the present temple.
I think you were there.
Yeah, I think I was, but I don't remember hardly anything.
I think you come, got it. I don't know. You can fill in the details if you remember. You were too heavy.
Some things don't change.
Preaching, yeah, some things don't change. Your preaching was too heavy. And I heard that it was too much for the present situation. I think you've been there for a little while. You may have already gone. And Banu Maharaj was there. And he was also kind of acting as an anchor to keep things together. And all those older devotees, they know very well how Banu Maharaj was so expert in holding, let's say, holding us, Prabhupada's lotus feet at that time. Yeah, correct. Agreed upon there by one of the older devotees online. I could hear them. And Banu Maharaj was there, but he left shortly after I joined. But he stayed for a while. And the next two amazing things I remember, besides it's like going to a wonderland, a new world, you know, it's so exotic place and all so exciting. The mood, I'm sure you got that, Maharaj, too, when you went to Bangladesh and Nepal. I don't know, maybe because I'm a geographer, I get it more than others. But, the idea of going to new places was just so exciting. And it was just like a new child with a new toy, you know. He felt so long. Immediately I felt inspired again, you know. It was like a new life almost, you know, for Avishra gave me this opportunity. And there we were in a new world, literally a new challenge. But it was so exciting going out on Sankirtan in Kuala Lumpur. And in the villages and in the places where, you know, the rubber plantations, ladangs, all in the estates there. We would go out, you know, and around the streets, around the estates. It was such an exciting experience, completely new, different, a whole different perspective to what I was used to in England, you know, going out shop to shop, office to, you know that. We used to do that together, back to Vikash Maharaj and myself. We went out quite a few times together. Going shop to shop, remember, in different places. It was just it was so fun. I mean, it's such an experience, you know. We're just kids, you know. It was so blissful coming together and challenging the competition there, but it was real fun. But this is back to 84 now, a little bit before back to Vikash Maharaj and myself were together there. And at that time, I remember the first major thing I remember in 84, besides the, you know, the transition and the meeting new people and a new food, you know, noodles, this and that. And of course, our dear Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu was there living outside with Nandini, but coming every day. He was a secretary coming and doing so much service. But remember, I'll tell you one or two very funny things at Kanagapuram. Before I get onto the book distribution and other things, one of the first experiences I have was being there in evening. We used to have an evening class every evening, Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so I don't know who was giving it, but we're having a class, and Vrindavan Chandra that evening, he volunteered, I'll cook this evening, I'll cook the prasadam. So he went in the kitchen to cook the prasadam. If you don't know it, Vrindavan Chandra and his dear wife passed away also some years ago, a wonderful devotee. And so he went into the kitchen to cook. And we're having class. And we could hear this funny noise. Coming from the kitchen. I don't know what it was. Anyway, it went on for a while. And then after the class was over, we all went into the little prasadam room, which is more like kind of the hallway. We went into there to take prasadam. It was just a house, you know. We went into the place we used to take prasadam, and there Vrindavan Chandra very enthusiastically came out of the kitchen. It was his speciality. He cooked this Chinese noodle preparation, real speciality. He said this is one of his you know, favorite preps. So he brought this out, and we sat round, and we're kind of like, you know, it's nice, you know, something different. So we're sat there to take the Chinese noodles. And the first mouthful I put in my mouth is, It's like bits of glass in my mouth. And I spat it out, and everyone did the same thing. I said, what is this, Vrindavan? What have you cooked here? I said, noodles. I said, what else? And I said, no, no noodles. Do you put anything in it? Some spices? And we started picking these things out of our mouth and out of it. It's all this sharp, little razor sharp pieces of something, bits of glass and plastic, whatever. It was coming out like this. It was like the whole thing was just smeared with this broken pieces of plastic or glass. Somehow or another, when he was grinding the spices, he did it wrongly, and it ground up the inside of the machine, and all these bits of plastic were all like completely throughout the whole prep. It was anyway, it was sort of funny prasadam story, you could say. But the funniest one was after one of our Sunday feasts there at Kanakapuram. This was really hilarious, I tell you. There was this I don't know who cooked the Sunday feast, but we had this incredible kirtan evening program, you know, 6:30 kirtan. We were sweating like anything. We used to have kirtans in those days, like, you know, you don't know what they were like. I mean, Maharaj, back to Vikash Maharaj, you remember some of those kirtans we used to have there. They were wild. They were wild. And back to Vikash Maharaj was one of the wildest. And excuse me, Maharaj, but I have to.
on the lawn yeah, with the hose.
The lawn in Taman Yarl, you were crazy, I tell you. I tell you, some of the most austere, disciplined, strict, down the line devotees in our movement have had their times. I know Harry Sori, he was also one of the wildest of the wild in his early days, you know, doing all kinds of pranks. Anyway, I'm sure you've told all about that. So back to Kanakapuram, and it was the Sunday feast, and we're all like sweating like anything, dying of thirst, you could say. And it's a Sunday feast, so, you know, always we'd have a nectar preparation for drinks to break, you know, to begin with, always is a nice drink. This. So we all ran out after the kirtan, and Vrindavan Chandra, again, he was expert at this. He wasn't cooking the feast, but he was arranging the serving. And he'd got everything ready, and he knew everyone was dying of thirst. So he had all the drinks in cups already on the table there, so we could just grab a drink and whoop, down it quick. So we all ran outside, you know, and I wasn't one of the first ones, luckily, but three or four in front of me, they quickly grabbed a cup and went woof, straight down. Seconds later, bubbles were coming out their mouth. What is this? What is this drink? And Vrindavan Chandra said, pineapple juice. Pineapple juice? What is this? This is not pineapple juice. There's bubbles coming out of their mouth. And everyone's looking at each other wondering what's going on. And then a few seconds later, the cook came running out the kitchen. Sorry, Prabhus, I'm a bit late. Here's the pineapple juice. He brought this big bucket and put it on the table, the pineapple juice. We're all looking at each other. What's going on? What's going on here, Vrindavan? You just told us this is pineapple juice, but now he's bought the pineapple juice. What's going on here? The cook looked at the bucket and said to Vrindavan, Vrindavan, Chandra Prabhu, that's not the pineapple juice. That was the water I just washed the floor of the kitchen with. It was the dirty kitchen water that he washed the floor with, full of soap. And it looked like it was the same color as the pineapple juice, you know, like yellowy brown color. And the devotees, about half a dozen devotees, are just down to whole cup of them. And it was so funny. It was like, anyway, what can you say? It was one of those things. But anyway, it's not very much about the preaching in Malaysia, but they're just memories of those early days. And it's like a family. We were just like a little family. And whatever went, we were together. It was so much fun. And then we had this festival that's still going on. The devotees are going out there. It's called Taipusam. Now, most devotees outside of Malaysia may not know what is Taipusam. You've been there for Taipusam, Maharaj, right?
Yeah, it's in India, of course, also. It originated in India.
Yeah, in South India. But it kind of took off in Malaysia in a way which was kind of quite extreme. I mean, the Taipusam festival in Malaysia goes on all over, wherever there are temples of Mariaman throughout Malaysia, practically everywhere they have this Taipusam. But in Kuala Lumpur, it's a festival which is like, wow, it's so huge.
Batu Caves.
In KL.
Batu Caves, is it
Batu
not?
Batu Caves, yeah. Yeah, at the top of the caves here, there's like, I don't know how many hundreds of steps up to these caves in this small hill mountain area north of Kuala Lumpur called Batu Caves. It's really mystical. And, you know, they have this long parade all the way from the center of Kuala Lumpur, from the Mariamman Temple in the city center, all the way out maybe 12 kilometers to these caves. And it's thousands and thousands of people. And altogether, they estimate about 750,000 people attend this festival. And it's like one of the most colorful festivals in the world, and goes on in Penang and Ipoh. We got Parabrahma here from Ipoh. He knows all about it there, and Johor, Malacca, everywhere. Yeah. Kuantan, everywhere you've got this festival going on. It's such
you can come every few minutes to add people who are in waiting. Please go on.
Sorry. Are we back online? Maybe we lost you there for 5 minutes, Maharaj.
We
didn't lose anyone else. Everyone else is there. I don't know how we lost you. You were supposed to be the host.
Yeah, I know. I don't understand these things. I'm from a village in Bangladesh. Actually, the village is
Bangladesh. I'm from a village in England. It's even worse. What to do? Anyway, many things. Then the next thing I remember there in Malaysia was there was one devotee called Ram Tulsi. Do you remember Ram Tulsi?
Yeah, Hansajuddha Maharaj's disciple.
Yeah, a real gentleman, a real sweet, kind of soft-spoken gentleman. I couldn't believe it. I've been with all kinds of American devotees, but this was like something unusual, to say the least. We got this old vehicle. I don't know its history. We had this old van, and I'm a driver. He was a driver. So Sadeshna, Ram Tulsi, and myself, we were driving up to Penang. There was another little group of devotees up in Penang. Wonderful group of devotees, Jagannath, Balaba, Dvija, Garanga, Purushottam, and a few others up there with their families. So we were going to go up there in Bukit Mertajam to try to do a bit of preaching up there, you know. I didn't know anything. So we drove up the old road. There was no highways, as we call it now. And they were just single roads, you know, and it took all day just to drive from Kuala Lumpur up to Bukit Mertajam. And what a drive, my God. He was giving me such ecstatic, humbling experience the whole way, to say the least, you know. If I did one thing, don't do that. Don't do that. You know, it's like, no, stop, turn left, right. He was just going at me like a wild boar or something. It was like incredible experience. And I thought, what am I doing here? This guy is a new devotee. He's only been in the movement 4 years. And I've been in the movement a long time. You know, I've been in the movement now 12 years, you know. And it's like, who's he to tell me what to do? And every time I tried to speak to him, I remember going to Dwijaranga's house trying to show them how to do RT. He said, no, don't do it like that. You do it like this. He would be just correcting everything I was trying to say. It was like really a weird experience. Anyway, we somehow survived, living by the grace of Jagannath Balaba. We were staying in his house. And remember Jagannath Balaba and his family, Lokabandhu, and all the kids were there. And I think two of them were up and about. One of the kids was a policeman. Anyway, we're staying in his house and we are doing little programs around Bukit Mertajam in their houses and then sometimes going to various plantations, rubber plantations. In
Pelama State.
We didn't go there with him. That came a little later. Didn't go there. Yeah, that may have been already there. Maybe they were protecting Plum Estate from him. I don't know. But whatever it was. I mean, he was a great devotee, but you know, he was a little bit heavy, to say the least. And we went to this one estate. Now, what was his name now? There was one devotee who left his body recently. He had lots of kids. I'm not talking to Mahateja Prabhu. I'm talking of another one. He was a part of that group. Like Krishna.
Kripa Krishna.
He had a lot of kids, right, Kalash?
Yes, Maharaj. His house is trending, you know?
Huh?
Remember? We went to his house. His house was like a...
Yeah, I'm going to tell that story. You were with me, maybe. I don't know. Kalash was another one. I remember we went to went to the park. That what's that? Cornwallis? Is it Fort Cornwallis in Penang, Georgetown?
Yes, Cornwallis. Yes. Explain it.
Grass in front of the fort there, right?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yeah, so we went there. We were going to meet. I think there was one boy named James. Was his name James? I think it was. One Chinese boy and one or two others. We met them on the grass because we never had a center up there those days. We had a little program. Maharaj. Maybe you came along to one of those programs. I don't know. But we had.
Yes, Maharaj.
You were there, Kalesh, those days. And we went to Palaka Krishna's house down in, what's it
called? Bainapas.
He had a little wooden house there. We did a little program there. We used to go to Sungai Dua. Oh, that fabulous little Krishna temple there. That was like that place was like in another universe. It was an incredible little place for preaching. I can't get the chronology correct here, but it's all over the next year or two. And there is so many devotees were coming from that program there in Sungai Dua. That little Krishna temple there, it was so mystical. I used to really look forward to going there. It was such fun. And back to Bukit Murtajam. So we went to Krishna Kripa's place one day, which was, I think, in Kulim, if I'm not mistaken, in Kulim. And never forget that. Dweja came with us. You remember that, Kalesh? Was that the time you came? I used to go around with Krishna Kripa with his kids. We used to go from, he used to take me around all the various plantations, you know, doing Harinam around Kulin.
Yes,
and we used to do Harinam here, there, and everywhere and distribute books, whatever we could. And we went to one time to his house and we had a little program there. And I remember his house was like a really little bit run down, a wooden shack, you could say. It was really quite old and run down. And Dweja Granga Prabhu, I don't know if he's online. Don't take any offense, Prabhu, but I remember you were there in the middle of the kirtan and suddenly you went through the floorboards. It was like a little raised above the ground, you know, maybe 5 feet above the ground or something. And suddenly one of Dweja Granga Prabhu's legs was like under the floor and he was like all over the place.
But many houses in Malaysia at that time are like that, weren't they? It was quite common to have houses like that in Malaysia.
Yeah, but it wasn't very common that some devotee would fall through the floorboards in their time.
Not very common, no. Not very common.
Many things. There's so many uncommon things would happen in those days. And I tell you, you know, I don't know. I don't see so many exciting things happening nowadays. It's just headaches, you know, lots of not so exciting headaches maybe. But then there was like unexpected things would happen left, right and center. You never knew what was going to happen next, you know. And and then, of course, as Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, somebody mentioned earlier, Plum Estate. Somebody said Plum Estate. So probably in 84 or so, we started visiting Plum Estate. But I can't remember the chronology exactly. But I remember after that trip up north, it was so those devotees were so wonderful. I mean, Purushottam Prabhu and his wife, Sukamala, and Dweja Gauranga Prabhu and his wife, who was, of course, at that time was in charge of a drug rehabilitation center there in BM. He had an important position. And it was just... It was amazing. They all stuck with ISKCON. This group of devotees stuck with ISKCON, got initiated by Jayapataka Maharaj after a while. But when I went back to KL in 84, after being up north for maybe a month or so, so somehow that we survived and we came back down. I think Ram Tulsi went off back somewhere on his own and we were staying in Kanagapuram there. I also, and I'm sure that Tapavit and Shanti Rupa will remember this one, Singeshwar will remember it. I also started getting a bit too heavy with my preaching. I don't know if you remember that.
You were using words like karmi.
Karmi, dirty words like karmi and things like that. You know, it was so sensitive in those days, you know, because the devotees were like, you know, they'd been like on the battlefield. I mean, before I came, they were living at Radharaj's house or your house, Chanti? Whose house were they living in?
Radharaj's house.
You know, it was there that Bhakti Vijayendra Maharaj took sannyas, wasn't it? In the garden, you know, 83, amazing. And so anyway, there's been a bit of a battlefield legally and personally with the Hansa Duda followers, and they survived with the help of Prabhu Vishnu, Jayapataka Maharaj, and Banu Maharaj. They survived, and they were the faithful ones who stuck on. So, you know, we're coming from England, and, you know, the use of the word carmy was almost a respectful word. To call people carmy was like showing respect to people, right?
Well, instead of calling them pigs and dogs.
Which sometimes the devotees were doing in England. I remember the first preaching program I went on in England. The devotee giving the class was an old devotee. He'd been in the movement 3 months, and you know, just joined. And he didn't know what to say when someone challenged him. So one of the really old devotees who'd been in the movement 6 months, his name was Sukarma, he took over the class, and he said to these young Christians, it was a young Christians hall in Sussex somewhere, and he said, so you're challenging like this, are you? You eat meat? Do you eat meat? You eat meat? And everyone kind of looked at each other and thought, what's he talking about? Because no one of you thought, you know, what's that got to do with it?
Well, everyone eats meat, right?
You eat meat, right? You eat meat. Said, of course I eat meat. Ted, you're worse than a pig! He said, in the middle of the class, you know. I can't believe it. I thought, wow, is this how we preach? You know, this is my preaching program. It's just calling these Christians worse than pigs, you know. They arranged the program. They invited us to come. You know? They all walked out of the program, the whole lot. We were just left there with the organizer alone. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't give any money for this program. Anyway, I said, so I can tell you a whole story about that. I mean, we were there all night. That day. It would take half the night to tell you the story. Because we were out all night because of that. We were stuck in the middle of nowhere all night long. Anyway, back to Malaysia. So I used some dirty words or misunderstood words, or you spoke too strongly, or whatever it was. I don't know what it was exactly, but somehow or another, it was a time for change. So I was told to pack my bags or else. I had to go. A heavy, heavy dose of mercy. And so Gabataka Maharaj and Prabhavishnu and Bhakti Vijendra Maharaj kind of got together and said, look, Maharaj, I wasn't Maharaj then. I was just a nobody, good for nothing like I am now. Anyway, they said, why don't you go back up north again? They like you up there. So I went back up north again and stayed with Jagannath Balabhu or Purushottam, one of them, up there north for a little while. And then Prabhavishnu, you know, Prabhavishnu is such a pioneer of Krishna consciousness and such a proponent of book distribution. So he wanted to get something going in Malaysia in terms of the books, more than just a few here and there. So he asked if I would help him and to try to form some kind of BBT in Malaysia. So I said, that's just up my street. And as Bhaktivinoda Kashmaj knows very well, I always was kind of had a hand in books and Sangirtan and so on most of my devotional life. So I said, okay. So it wasn't very practical to do it from Bukit Mertajam. So I said, I can't move to Kuala Lumpur. The time's not very good for that. So I said, okay, let's go down. Let's do something. So we started a little center in Klang. So I went to Klang with Sudeshna, who had also, being a, you know, a strong German, had also more or less been asked to, you know, find somewhere else to preach. So we went down to Klang, and we started a little center there in Klang. And it was ecstatic, really ecstatic. I mean, it was, again, one of those memories that stick with you of something which, you know, whenever you think of it, you become inspired. So we started, I can't remember the name of the road, but there was, what was her name? She also passed away with her two sons, Surya and Uttama. Oh, what is not Uttama? What's his name?
Prema Bhakti Tarangini.
Huh?
Prema Bhakti Tarangini.
Prema Bhakti, yeah. Prema Bhakti Mataji. And her two wonderful sons, and they looked after us like mums. Like she looked after us like a mother. She, every day cooking for us, and it was. So there was a few others. I can't remember their names. They're in Klang, of course. Kalidas is obvious. He was in Port Klang, and a few others there: Radhakrishna, Gita, Govinda, and Jamuna, and a few others who were there in Klang. If you remember these devotees.
Udu's mother, Prema Bhakti.
Pardon? Sorry? Santi?
No. Nothing, Maharaj. Sorry.
No problem. Yeah. They were
Maharaj, I'm just going to take a 5-minute bathroom break, but I'll be hearing you. Please go on speaking.
Okay. If you want, tell me to stop whenever you want. So anyway, they were all there. We started a little Sangatan party there in Klang, and it was really ecstatic. I would be going down to Singapore every month to renew my visa. We started getting books in from India, some, and here and there. We started printing books in Singapore also. I remember the abridged form of the Bhagavad Gita. We got that printed in Singapore. Large numbers of blue-colored Tamil abridged Bhagavad Gita, which was one of our major, let's say, publications for distribution. I'm sure the old devotees can remember distributing that one. Perhaps Singeshwar still has some in the archives. I don't know. You remember that book, Singeshwar?
Yes, man. It's a very nice book. Very, very nice.
Yeah,
book.
We did hundreds. Yeah. I don't know. I must have done hundreds of thousands of those.
Yeah,
I think.
It's a very practical and very nice.
Very practical.
Yeah.
And I think we even exported them back to India again. But that was printed in Singapore. We were working with Rahugana and a few others down there. There's just so many things you could go on forever. Going to the market there, one of my favorite things was going to the markets, distributing books in the vegetable markets. Or the, you know, the Malaysia is full of markets, street markets, covered markets. And they're so good for book distribution. We used to go every day, shop to shop, around the markets, to Deshna and myself, and the group of devotees we had there. And then a great thing happened, probably in 84, maybe the later part of 84. At last, Ramcharan Prabhu and Janaki returned back to Malaysia. And that was like a really big upliftment for our yatra there in Malaysia. They returned again, and they were staying with us. And then things got better again. And after a while, you know, whatever misunderstandings were there was solved. Ramcharan maybe was involved in that solution. And we were back together again in Kanagapuram. And then, of course, they found that the present temple in Taman Yarl, Ramcharan and others, maybe Tapavit and Jagajitanya probably would know more about that, who was working on getting that building in Taman Yarl. And we were all back together again, and preaching was growing a little bit more and more and more and more and more, growing. And then, of course, Bhakti Vikash Maharaj came on board with us again for quite some time in Taman Yarl. And so we had a good team of us there then with him, Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, Bhakti Vijendra Maharaj, myself. I think Sudeshana had left. I think he left about that time. And Ramcharan Prabhu and Janaki. So things started to really start to move then when we moved to Taman Yarl. And preaching then, we were going in different places, Sentul and Brickfields and different places. And Singeshwar Prabhu and his brother, Sri Gauranga, and a few other family members and daddy, all becoming devotees, or were devotees. And then preaching and more and more. Actually, in Taman Kanagapuram, quite a few people came. Even Rasaraj and Stephen, back to Stephen. You know Stephen?
Is it Ayyavu, Maharaj? There was an Ayyavu.
Huh?
There was another Ayyavu. Ayyavu, one of the first to join. Then he left after that.
Ayyavu. He got initiated?
No. He was a very nice devotee, but somehow he left. Just before Rasaraj.
Okay, I can't remember Ayyavu. That's interesting. There was quite a few. I mean, and even Nanda Priya's kids, you know? What was their name? Girl, daughter and son, I've forgotten.
Yeah, Usha and what's his name? Forgot. He was about to join, actually.
Yeah, he was right. He was my assistant. He was my assistant there in Taman Kanagapuram for a while when I was staying there. He used to spend a lot of time there.
Prakash.
Really nice guy. Yeah, he was very nice boy. So anyway, when we went to Taman Yarl, you know, we had a nice group of devotees there, and then, you know, Stephen. You remember Stephen?
Stephen.
Yeah.
I'm trying to recall, Manas.
Back to Stephen. You don't remember Stephen?
Sadhana Prabhu.
Shivan. I thought his name. I used to call him Stephen.
Yeah.
He used to travel with me all the time. I always call him Stephen. I didn't realize it was Shivan, not Stephen. if you ever ask him now about that, he'll laugh. Shivan. Siddhi Sadhana. He would also come in there and Rasa Parayana, maybe they all came about a little round about the same time, really, or coming and going. Deva, and Loka, maybe a little. Loka was later. He was a northern boy. But, you know, these devotees were coming around. We used to go out. I think used to come with us, Singish. We used to go, this was more the devotees in the temple. We used to go to, especially Central, and go door to door in Central on Sankirtan and take the devotees out in the evening. And many of those devotees, like Deva, and those devotees, they remember that. It was like the thing that really kind of made them, you know, committed. Book distribution really endears you to Srila Prabhupada. And it really makes one feel, you know, you're connected to Prabhupada. And it's such an important foundation for every devotee in our movement to have this understanding of how important it is to always keep in our lives, no matter what service we're doing, no matter what ashram we're in, book distribution is absolutely necessary if we really want to please Prabhupada. It doesn't mean we have to be doing books all the time, but at least we have to be supporting it and trying to encourage the distribution of Prabhupada's books. This is the main tool for changing the world, for saving the world. Call it what you will. The real, of course, is all ultimately leading to the Sankirtan Yogya, the chanting of the holy names. But especially in terms of the present situation, everyone can see what an insecure mess the world is in. And because people are in total darkness. At least Bhagavatam has come as the light to in this age of Kali. So it's so important to distribute this knowledge. Even immediately, people don't take it. It will happen in time. And we have to study these books. So we were really, didn't have much else to rest on in those days, mainly book distribution. Because in Malaysia, being a Muslim country, going out on Harinam on the streets all the time, it's not always so easy as it is in the Western countries. We would go around areas where mostly Indian people were living, which was fantastic. So then we started also at that time, besides going around shops and door to doors and so on and so forth, they'd also started. Now, Hansidu did a lot of good things as well. Now, don't get me wrong. The devotees did amazing service and many wonderful things. And one of those things was that they printed and distributed hundreds and hundreds of sets of Srimad Bhagavatam in English, right? In Malaysia. So many, those little black ones, so many sets were distributed all over the country. And many of those people who got those sets became devotees. So it's a very wonderful thing to distribute Srimad Bhagavatam sets. I think you have distributed quite a few recently on Bhadra Purnima. I think you've been, how many sets on Bhadra Purnima this year?
I think about 500 over, around 600, Maharaj.
Fantastic. Congratulations to all the devotees in Malaysia or wherever you are in the world for distributing so many wonderful books. We distributed a grand total here in France of 8. That's for the whole year. That's not just on that day. The reason being, we don't have any Bhagavatam sets. The French Bhagavatam has been out of print for the last 40 years, almost 40 years, 35 years. So just now, please, I'm putting in a little extra jab here. We are asking all your blessings, please, that we can print it this year. It's almost ready for printing again.
Right.
It's working this year. We've raised all the money. We had to raise the money to pay for the printing as well. Quite a lot of money. And I mean, I don't know, about 300,000 ringgit, if you want to put it in ringgit, in order to pay for the printing. So we're ready with that to go this year. We're just waiting now for the COVID excuses to die down so the printer can go ahead and print it. So we're hoping then to get on board, and we've already pre-sold 200 sets of Bhagavatams in France this
year.
So 8 have gone out, but 200 are pre-sold. So that's an exciting thing for next year. Let's see. But anyway, this is such an exciting thing, and it's still such an exciting thing. Don't think this is just history. We're not talking about past times. We're talking about present times. It may be the external details may vary. In other words, you know, you may not have this thing and that thing. The estates may not be so the same as they were 40 years ago. Maybe there are more Malay people there. Maybe they're not quite the same. I don't know. But it's the same principle. The principle of taking on this task, this challenge for Srila Prabhupada, and trying to distribute Krishna consciousness wherever and whatever way we can, to whomever we can. and the spirit of preaching. This movement is a preaching movement. And I think in Malaysia more than any, because we have to start literally. These devotees who are with us today, Tapavit, Shanti, and many others who are on the screen here. I can't remember everyone. Shingeshwar is there, of course. And then later on, we've got Shanti Vardhana and Shiva Chaitanya and many others there. People Sindhu, I can see there. And many others who came a little bit later, Kalesh and many others. Kalesh was also fairly early in that team who came on board to establish what you have now in Malaysia. Now, we can always improve. Now, the improvement, I feel, which is something which we imbibed from day one as trying to become servants of the devotees, was the importance of the chastity to Srila Prabhupada, of keeping Prabhupada in the center. And how do we do that? It's not just a sentimental Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, it's not just that. It's actually doing what Prabhupada wants us to do. And he wants us to read his books. And so we put a lot of efforts on that too, on studying the books. And I think not as much as we could, but it was very much stronger in those earlier days. The importance of, it's part of a daily life. It's part of our life. It is our life to hear from Srila Prabhupada and to try to distribute that, what we hear from Srila Prabhupada. Not just talk about it as a pastime, as a past. If we want to really progress as a movement, then this always has to be the, you could say, the lifeblood of our movement. Now, I went a long way off what Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, the audience Bhakti Vikash Maharaj asked, how did I end up in Malaysia? We've gone a little bit deeper into being in Malaysia. I don't know if that's how much time we've got on our menu, but we've gone quite deep there. And I could go on and on and on about different little things. Plum Estate, I think, always warrants a mention, because some of the devotees online today have to say that a lot of their being with us today revolves around Plum Estate. And devotees there in Plum Estate preaching, so many devotees. I don't know the figures. I did count one time over 30 or 40 dedicated devotees from Plum Estate over the years. I don't know if there are such figures. I can't even remember all the names. Of course, we remember early ones who were associated, like Naikashringa and Nishtarani and Palaka and his wife and devotees like that who were either living there or preaching there. And then so many others came later on, including Mahavira Prabhu and others nearby, like Lokaswami and Shiva Chaitanya and others who were nearby. They may not have been living there on the estate, but we used to go there regularly. I mean, it became one of my kind of like favorite things in Malaysia was to regularly go to Plum Estate. And such fun we used to have there in Plum Estate. Naikashringa was living there in different places. I've lived in so many different spots there on Plum Estate. We stayed in this place, that place, all kinds of different places in that little Rama temple there. And it was so sweet. And I was there the first day when Vishakhi came to the temple, of course, our famous bovine devotee from Plum Estate, Vishakhi, the famous cow. And I was there the first day she came, and she passed stool on the floor. And of course, that sounds awful from a Western point of view. God, came into the temple and passed stool on the floor. This is disgusting. But from a devotional point of view, Vedic point of view, this is the most wonderful, auspicious event. And I remember feeding her laddus. I gave her, she just consumed the whole bag of laddus. She was such a devotee, that cow. I mean, Singeshwar, you knew her well, right?
She'll come for Bhagavatam class and sit down at the back.
Okay, for the world devotees, you may have read my book on animals in Krishna consciousness anyway. But if you haven't, even if you have, it's always worth. She would come to class. Okay, of course, I was only going there approximately once a month, once every 2 months, like that. Whenever I could, I would go to Plum Estate. Plum Estate, by the way, was a rubber plantation. It's in the north of Malaysia. It's not that far from Bukit Mertajam, the town we used to stay, maybe an hour's drive from there, in the hills, in the countryside, kind of towards the mountains there. It's an amazing place. So many devotees came from there. It was like going back in time. I felt like it was going back in time, a different era. There were no roads to Plum Estate. It was just a track, a muddy, difficult to traverse track. practically speaking. And, you know, a little river, you had to sometimes drive through the river in the middle of the track. And it was really kind of like another generation. It was like going back in time, literally, at least for me, it was like going back 100 years or more in time. Incredible place. And it was so fun. And the people were just so simple and innocent. And, you know, they just exchanged. Now they've all gone to the cities and the cities have come there. But it was like so nice in those days. Everything was green and people were so simple and innocent. And we used to go all around there, all the other little temples, a lot of Telugus, people from Telugu, from Andhra Pradesh, a lot of Telugus living in that area, mostly Telugus. Many of our devotees have Telugu backgrounds, right, Shiva Chaitanya? Many of the devotees up there had Telugu backgrounds, right?
Just your Tamil.
I'm Tamil.
Yeah. So it was really, I mean, it really was. I mean, if you remember, we would just have such kirtans and Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram. I mean, we couldn't stop it. You know, you can't say, we don't need to chant that. It was just automatic because the days were Sita Ram. In many of the temples, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram. We'd be just going everywhere, just distribute prasadam, distribute books, chant the holy names, preach to people. People would come to the little programs, Nagashringa. I don't know if any of you remember that house he had next to the mosque. There's one little mosque in Plum Estate because everywhere there has to be a mosque. And there's some Muslims working on the estate. So he got a house right next to the mosque. I mean, literally 2 meters from the mosque. It was like, just like, you know, the next building was the mosque. And he got this kind of big house, an old wooden house, similar sort of thing. I would stay there with him. And then we had to take bath in the well at the back. I remember the first morning I took bath, I couldn't understand why I'm itching so much. And then we looked in the and the well was just like a mosquito nest. There were millions of mosquitoes in there. We couldn't see, it was so dark. But it was so fun going around there, sometimes on Ram Nomi, taking a deity of Ram around doing kirtan. It was just so spontaneous. It was so free-flowing. It was just, I don't know, just something very special. Not really, you know, no cares hardly, just preach, especially in the rubber plantations. They were so, and so many devotees. And Cha, I remember Cha was another wonderful place we go. What to speak of Tilak Intan. Tilak Intan was really Tilak in town. Mm-hmm. It was such a wonderful place for preaching Krishna consciousness, Tilak Intan. And Ipoh, Rifle Range. That's another saga with the ex-Hansa Duda group in Rifle. Oh my God. I sing a show at Latin. He remembers some of those things. What was his name? That Swami who was there. I can't remember his name.
Tapapunj Swami. Tapapunj Swami.
There was another one before him.
Rohini Kumar Swami.
What was his name?
Rohini Kumar Swami.
Oh my God. Oh, some stories were there. And then we had all the
heavy.
Oh, and Yadavendu, Hare Krishna. some experiences up there, and all those Hansa Duda guys running around the field with knives and chasing people around. Oh, so many things. They were the wild west days.
Rohini Kumar Swami chasing people with knives?
No. Some of the
Rohini Kumar
was hiding. Rohini Kumar was hiding. I remember one day I went there. I couldn't
such
find
a
him.
Gentle soul.
Yeah, he was. He was hiding from the congregation. He was hanging outside the window to avoid the congregation who were coming. He climbed outside the window and was kind of hiding outside the window, kind of holding on there on a little tiny ledge that the congregation were coming to harass him. It was a whole scene. And then they had two houses, one each side of the grass, and on the other side was Hansa Duda's followers. And they were one time they were coming with knives and all sorts of things. It was Wild West.
The temple side by side.
Yeah, they were just 100 meters away from each other. It's wild. And anyway, c'est la vie. That's life. And, you know, we had quite a few of those things. I remember, I think, 85 Taipusam. You know, then different things. Oh, this is a funny one. Listen to this one. There was one devotee named Nishinga.
Is it Nishinga Kawacha?
No, he's a New Zealand devotee. He was really big and strong.
Narasinga Kawacha.
No, that's another one. He's also
Narasingha. Yes, Maharaj, a big face. Yeah, very.
Yeah, very a real heavy, tough guy, you know.
Yes,
Maharaj.
Anyway, he was also Bhagavan. He was Bhavananda's disciple, and Bhavananda then had also had problems, and he had problems. And Gita Govinda, you know, Gita Govinda was also Bhavananda's disciple, I think. And he got really upset. I remember he came to the temple one day in Kanagapur, in Kamanyaro, and he got
Gita Govinda lifted him up.
Oh, he was going at me like he was so angry at me, you know. I don't know, I had nothing to do with it directly, but I was representative. So he was so angry. And this devotee from New Zealand, Nishinga, was kind of stood nearby, and he said, "Hey, wait," he said something like, "What are you talking about?" And he then said, "This is Bhavananda." He said, "Yeah, okay." And he went boom like this around his neck, picked him up, and carried him out in the street, and just dropped him in the street and said, "Don't come back again." Bong.
Narasimha Prasad, Maharaj?
Narasimha Prasad, yeah. Hare Krishna devotees are very gentle, as you always know. Some examples of the gentleman, but yeah, these are just a sort of little, say, lowlights or highlights of little things. But the main things were the exciting preaching. But these little things also are there. They're all part of, you know, in every subject, especially in Malaysia, you have to put a little chili in there sometimes, right? I mean, in Malaysia, they don't use much chili, do you?
No, very little.
Very little chili. Only like, you know, 1 kilo of chili to 1 kilo of sabji, right? Something like that. They love their chilies in Malaysia. If you like chilies, go to Malaysia. Especially even Tamil Nadu, they say it's too spicy. It's so famous for its spices. But, you know, not only that, there are many wonderful non-spice dishes also, incredible dishes. Anyway, so all these things, exciting things like, what's it called? What's that one we have for breakfast? What's it called? That big, that light one you have for breakfast. What's it called?
Nasi lemak.
Not nasi lemak. Another one. Very, very light. Nasi lemak is one. There's another one too. What's it called?
Upma, is it?
Huh?
Upma? No.
No.
Roti chennai.
Nice light roti chennai. You have four nice roti chennais for breakfast and you're made for the day. Your whole day is ecstatic, right? You don't have to worry about anything for the rest of the day. You're just on your back for the next 12 hours. It's just amazing. This preparation is out of the world, right? Roti chennai. It's just incredible. You can't resist it once you taste it. It's just incredible. What to speak of the durians. Roti chennai and durians. There's nothing like it. This is just Malaysia is a haven of fruit. I tell you, it's a fruit haven. You can't believe it. It's so many wonderful fruits in Malaysia. It's just fruits you've never heard of. And when I mention things like mangosteen and mata kucing, and they may have heard of durian. It's kind of got a name for itself all over the world. It's like a trademark for Malaysia. And, you know, all these other things, you know, rambutan and all these amazing fruits. It's just incredible. I mean, it really is. Malaysia is such a special place. And I think Bhatia Vikash Maharaj, I remember seeing him also sometimes running up the street in Taman Yaro, stopping. They used to have, you know, before the highways were built, when there was a traffic jam in the evening along Jalan Klang Lama, all the traffic would come round through Taman Yaro, you know, they'd all try to make a shortcut. So all the way from our temple up to the top of the hill was a traffic jam every evening, right? And Bhakti Vikash Maharaj would go out in the evening, book another innovation, going car to car, just doing books all the way up the street. I remember seeing him. Oh, yes, that's such. And then when all these devotees like Singhashwar, I think your brother joined the temple before you, right? I preached to him or something. He helped me with a BBT, remember?
Yeah.
Three. Then you joined shortly after the temple. You're already everything, but you weren't living in the temple. So you kind of, one of you decided that he was the one who decided, or it was decided he joined first. Then you joined.
No, the deal was I would join and he would take care of my father.
Huh?
the deal was I will join and he is to take care of my father. But then he joined
first,
about,
first?
I joined first and he joined about four weeks later.
I thought it was the other way around. You joined first and he would take care of your father. Then he joined shortly after that.
Then four weeks later, about about a month.
And he was helping with the BBT. You know, we had the BBT. We were doing the BBT up the top there. We're kind of the same building, I think. Can't remember.
There was Kanagapuram beside the...
Kanagapuram. Kamanyar. Yeah, we didn't have BBT in Camp Kanagapuram.
Same building, Maharaj, yes.
Same building. So anyway, whatever it was, you guys all joined. And then Loka joined and from different places. And who else joined then? Deva.
Ratnanabha, Danishta, Satyapata,
Rajkumar.
Rasaraj
already joined. He was Pujari. He and Laja. They were our super Pujari.
Rasaraj, Rohini Nandana.
Rohini, so many. We had about, we had about 20 or 30 devotees on full time.
There was the girl from Sri Lanka, Gaurangi, Laja.
Rangi, Kamalangi.
So many.
I can't remember all the names at that time. Vijay.
Vijay Krishna and Ram Gopal.
Ram, Radio Ram. So many devotees joined at that time. And we had about 20 or 30 devotees on full-time Sankirtan at one time, I remember.
Yes,
ma'am. Five parties going all over the place in vehicles left and right. So many wonderful times were there. Even Vrindavan Chandra used to be a regular on Sankirtan in those days. But Param Brahma joined a little bit later, I think. Wasn't that right, Param? You joined a bit later?
Yeah, a little later, but he was the youngest.
It was like another group you joined later, Shiva Chaitanya, Param, and another whole group. Well, Pundarik, don't forget Pundarik, he was there too.
Yes, Pundarik Prabhu.
Yeah,
and so many. Sevananda Prabhu.
Sevananda.
Yeah, so many of them joined at that time.
Wave of devotees joined, and it was the mood was distribute books.
I had to go to the police station regularly.
Yeah, I had to go to the police station, even myself, even though I'm not Malaysian. That was a saga. I don't know what year it was, probably 86, but I can't remember. I remember
families were sending tucks to the temple. Their families were sent tucks to the temple to pull the brahmacharis back.
Sometimes some thugs would come to the temple to try to drag their sons and daughters out. I remember one time I was kind of coordinating, I guess you could say, and I was supposed to be regional secretary. And one of our parties, it was Deva, Lokaswami, there was one Swedish boy with him, I've forgotten his name. And probably someone else, there were four of them. They were up in Klantan. And they had one of our, Raghunath. And I bought these vehicles. We had two or three of them. Dirt cheap price. They came from Japan. And they were kind of illegal. And they were in the docks in Port Klang for ages. And I came across this guy and said, he's got all these vehicles. He's trying to get rid of them. And he sold them to me, and somehow we got them all registered. We got them like a third price of normal, brand new Japanese, what type of vehicle? I can't remember, big vans. And then I saw one of them still was being used up there in the north a few years ago, still survived. So we got a few of these vans. And anyway, they're in this van up north there in Klantan, which is one of the areas, like a county, if you're in the Western world.
State,
you call it state in Malaysia.
They're called states, but it's more like a county by English.
Yeah, as I was saying, for the rest of the world, we call it like a county. So Klantan. So they were just doing books up there in Klantan, but we were on too much of a kind of a roll, we're doing paintings, posters from Italy. You remember those posters? We distributed tens of thousands of those beautiful posters.
So many.
All over Malaysia, and everyone got a book as well, it's really... Oh, it was so great. And devotees were collecting even those days. So I remember Sri Gauranga. He was so big, huh? He and Lokaswami, they were really competitors. A thousand ringgit a day, was a lot of money in those days. And selling these posters and giving books to everyone and anyone. And they were this party, Lokaswami and Deva. We're up there in Raghunath, maybe one other. We're up there in Klantan, and Raghunath was driving, and they were just going from Klantan. There was a road across the hills. Klantan is on the eastern side of Malaysia. They were driving over to the western side across the hills. And unfortunately, Raghunath, coming from Sweden, they drive on the wrong side of the road in Sweden. And they drive on the wrong side of the road all the time. I don't know how they survive, but they do. Everybody drives on the wrong side of the road, so I guess that's how it works. So in Malaysia, where they drive on the right side of the road, or whatever you call it, he forgot where he was, and he went round a corner on the wrong side of the road, and bang, smack into this Volvo, big Volvo car. The Volvo.
But he was a life member. He never signed up.
He was a life member and never signed up. Yeah.
Yeah. Me and Maharaj were trying to make this man a life member.
Oh.
And he was going for a vacation.
Oh my God! There you go. Lucky they drove into one of our potential life members, and I guess that was the end.
And Jelly. The place is Jelly.
Yeah. Huh?
The place is called Jelly.
Jelly. Yeah. Well, when we got that phone call that they'd had an accident, they ended up in hospital. They weren't seriously injured, a few breaks and bruises, but they were in hospital. So I drove up immediately with Vrindavan and Chandra. We drove all the way up to Klantan, to that village, to the police station. We went to see the devotees in hospital. We went to the van, and there wasn't a penny, not one ringgit anywhere. And so I asked them, they'd just done a week in Klantan. And they'd been done really big, and they had not banked anything. They made a mistake. They didn't bank anything. So I went to the police station and I talked to the police, and they said, no, there was nothing in the van. Nothing. When we got there was no money, nothing. And the devotees said they left it in the van because they were so injured they couldn't work it out. So I went to the police station. They said nothing. And I was kind of doubting their word. They were, you know, you can kind of tell when you talk to people. They're not really telling the truth. And I looked in one of the side rooms and I saw all these bags, which we used to use to keep the coins in, like piled up in the room next to me. I said, what's that? They kind of got all panicky. I went in. I said, okay. Oh, yeah. We did find something in the van. And we got all the coins. The coins. We got them all back. But they took all the notes. We never got any notes. But anyway, it was just one of those things. We just carry on preaching. The whole thing is about spreading Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said this movement is fun. Spreading Krishna consciousness is the greatest happiness. When you see people get books, when you see people chant Hare Krishna, taking prasadam, coming to the temple, whatever it is, this is the pleasure of a devotee. It just brings unending pleasure. Despite all the spices mixed in, the crazy, due to our past conditions, sometimes the crazy things we do, etc., they become insignificant in a sense. They're passing clouds in the sky of the Sangatan movement. Just keep that, always keep the Krishna sun in the center, keep Prabhupada in the center always. Everything else is like a passing cloud, and we'll come to the clear sky. Just keep, Sangatan is the you know, what can you say? I can't give an example. The rays of that sun emanating into this dark world, clearing away all these clouds in our consciousness. So making Sangatan in its unlimited forms as our life and soul, and without the mentality of spreading Krishna consciousness, there is no ISKCON, there is no movement. We're not a social club. This is not a religious branch of Hinduism. It is a movement for bringing Krishna, awakening Krishna in everyone's lives, bringing us to our eternal constitutional position. So I think in Malaysia now there are many thousands of devotees everywhere. Thousands of devotees everywhere, temples everywhere, Rath Yatras everywhere. We really have to thank those early devotees. Many of them are with us today. The service, the sacrifice. Somebody is agreeing or not agreeing, I don't know. But the sacrifice which you all perform, you're performing for giving
mute the others. Maybe they can mute. Somebody can mute everyone.
What's happening there?
Just mute. Moderator, please mute. Who's the moderator?
Somebody kindly mute their microphone.
Okay. Seems to have been done.
And you know, probably Vishnu. Japatakamaj, Prabhavishnu, and Bhakti Vijayendramaj, how we used to travel around Malaysia in cars, going here and there, visiting Baho and Kuala Ketil and Ipoh and this place, Sitiawan. So much fun. I mean, you know, many of you experienced that, you know. You know, Japatakamaj, when he gets going, he's a ball of fun. Playing in the ocean in Sitiawan with the devotees and so many things, big programs in the States. So many wonderful, wonderful preaching gone on in Malaysia over the decades. So big thanks to all of the devotees, Ramshuramu, Janaki, Prabhavishnu, Bhakti Vijayendramaj, all the congregational devotees or whatever you want to call it, community devotees. I prefer to say community devotees. And so many others, Banu Swami, so many others at that time, who resurrected, you could say, Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, helped to resurrect ISKCON there after 1983, when more or less it was dismantled almost by the unfortunate events related to Hansaduda Prabhu at that time. And prior to that, so many things. You can go back, if you, of course, Bhakti Vijayendra Maharaj is not with us now, but I mean, Prabhupada has a lot of stories to tell. And so many others have stories to tell from the 70s of the preaching in Krishna consciousness in Malaysia, sowing the seeds when Prabhupada was there, etc. Amoga Prabhu and others who were there at the time, Gopal, of so many wonderful events in that mystical country of Malaysia, which now has become pretty much modernized and like everywhere else, in our so-called civilized modern world. But still, at the down on the ground level there, I'm sure that in the heart of hearts, there's still so much exciting, pioneering preaching to go on there in Malaysia on different fronts. And I hope you can carry it more and more forward for the pleasure of Prabhupada and for the benefit of the people of Malaysia. And if we are very fortunate, if we have any little tiny little bit of credit for anything that's gone on there, there may be a little bit of hope for, let's say, persons born in such sinful situations as ourselves. It's only by the mercy of the devotees that we have any hope of becoming free of our, you know, whatever anarthas we may have, etc., etc. So service to the Vaishnavas. Learn as we go through our life, and many of these things which I've said may not sound so Krishna conscious, they may not sound like the behavior of Vaishnavas, but we're carrying a lot of baggage. And if we continue to try to put Prabhupada in the center, put the mission of Prabhupada in the center, try to realize, you know, where we're coming from, not to forget it, we're not so great, and try to respect other Vaishnavas and appreciate all the service that they're trying to render or have rendered in Prabhupada's mission. So, I mean, I don't know, we can go on and on. We could talk about Jagannath deities. We could talk about many things. I'll leave it at that. How Jagannath came to Malaysia. I know some of it, and others can fill that in. I didn't mention that when I talked about Malaysia. I remember going around England trying to find Yadavendu one time, who disappeared to England with their Jagannath deities, thinking maybe him. And searching him out in South Wales and all sorts of things, trying to convince him to return. Anyway, whatever. So many interesting stories, different ways that the Lord deals with us to bring us to our senses, to help us to become, you know, purified in heart, and give up this false identification, this illusion of thinking I'm always right and I'm at the center, etc. So I guess we've gone on too long already. It's an hour and 45 minutes almost. And I'm sure you've got things to do. It's probably getting late over there. What time is it there? 8 o'clock? 8:30? 8, 9 o'clock? Malaysia?
In Malaysia.
8:45.
8, 9 o'clock almost, and probably 5 o'clock in, 6 o'clock in India. It's getting a 7 o'clock or whatever. It's getting late, and there's some devotees even from Australia there, which is the middle of the night there. And some have jumped out because it is literally the middle of the night. New Zealand, we had one from New Zealand. It's like 12 hours. It's like 3 in the morning for them. I'd like to thank you all very much, Maharaj. I mean, do you want to, perhaps Maharaj would like to say something. I've just held the show.
I'll just wrap it up. I'll just wrap it up by saying.
Yeah, just wrap me up. Just wrap it up.
Very
Maharaj.
Happy to see. Very happy to see Singheshwara Prabhu.
Yeah, isn't it?
Such
great?
A long time.
Yeah.
Great, we've had, the great rock. The great rock.
He's a rock. Some people call him the rock, and immovable rock. We have in England the Blackpool rock, and there we have the Malaysia rock. He's sweet, very sweet, like the Blackpool rock. Yeah, we talk.
Oh, on that's off. A. I was wondering, I was thinking about. Well, what's this Blackpool rock? It's a kind of.
Scary, you've right? been away too long.
Yeah.
You've been away from England too long. It's a long stick.
Yeah, right. I'd also like to take this opportunity to extend my congratulations and tremendous appreciation for the fact that you're in France.
I'm in France. They're all there. Gokularan is in France.
No, I'm talking to you, Maharaj.
Oh, okay.
It's been a mess for many years, and many great stalwarts have gone in and gone out again quickly.
They vowed never to come back again.
Yeah, but you've stuck it out, and you've been there several years and turning things around, and that's a tremendous service in Prabhupada's movement.
Well, I have to thank very you. Important. You encouraged me to come here.
Yeah, I wish I could have helped more. I've been trying to send men, but it's very difficult with the visa situation.
Very difficult. Bhakti Vikash Maharaj has helped us tremendously here in France by. He, amongst others, encouraged me, why not try to utilize this life, dedicate it to Srila Prabhupada in France, difficult as it is. And it's a fact that several senior Vaishnavas have come here in the past, much more eligible, much more qualified, for whatever reason, didn't last. And some of them said, I've done my time in France, please don't ask me again. But we're again getting devotees to come back to France now. We've had Kadamba
Jai.
Yamakana Maharaj come regularly. Even Bhakti Chaturu Maharaj came just before he left his body. He came to France. And we had, who else we had there? Sachinanda Maharaj came. Kadambakana Maharaj came. Who else do we have this year? Agni Dev probably was staying in France.
Wow.
He wants to stay now. And,
wonderful.
Hari Vilasi, one of his daughters, is staying here now. She's moved here.
Gopaswami's there.
Gopaswami's here. He's not officially a sannyasi. His name is Gopaswami. Gopa Goswami. It's just his name. And he lives here. He's a wonderful soul. And many other new devotees. And book distribution is, we've already distributed more books this year than we did all of last year. And last year was double the year, which was 3 times the year before, which was 4 times the year before, which was 50 times.
Haribol!
There's new Mayapur and the city center, is it? Two, is it Maharaj?
New Mayapur is the community temple there, which Prabhupada spent 3 times he came to New Mayapur. 3 times. He gave many instructions. We've been talking much of the morning, actually, talking about cows and how to build up the Goshal again, and with a devotee who wants to take the responsibility for it. And I've been speaking with the Minister of Cow Protection, so we can try to be on board. And so we're hoping to build up the Goshal again. One of our old cows, we've got 3 or 4 old cows, is just about to pass away. So we were talking about that. And then we went on to the new herd. So we're hoping to start a new Goshal at New Mayapur soon. And there's a little bit of farming going on now, and we're trying to repair the roofs. The buildings, we've already spent about 1 million euros in the last 3 or 4 years on fixing up buildings. And there's still about another 2 or 3 million euros worth of damage to repair.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah, every single building, right? Every single building on New Mayapur was in a semi-dilapidated state. Everyone. And several of them have been leased out many years ago to devotees who were not officially in ISKCON, and they were given life leases, and they don't pay rent, practically speaking. It's a real struggle to deal with all these legalities, etc., as well as the financial issues. But by Krishna's grace, Lakshmi has been coming from various sources, some unexpected sources. We've managed to fix up some of the buildings and some of the roof, the whole roof of the chateau, all of the drainage in the chateau, the main building, all of the drainage underground as well as overground, all the pipes, all of the roof, all of the chimneys, everything either needs replacing or removing, everything. So it's the desire of the, is it Prabhupada's words? He said the first thing is you must fix up all the damaged buildings. In his own writing, he writes that. So kind of taking that on board as Prabhupada's instruction, trying to fix up the buildings. I'm not doing anything except for watching them do it. But some, we've got friends and devotees who are a little expert at these things, who are organizing and doing it. And some devotees have generously helped financially. We have to thank the British Yatra and other Yatras also for helping out in many of these areas, and especially some devotees in France. We have one devotee in France now who's been donated over 1 million euros.
Hmm. That's a great credit to you that they've got the confidence in you that you're stuck, you're sticking there, you're going to do something and you can do something, because previously no one had faith in anyone.
Yeah, there's
that's
a great...
That's because of you that they're rallying around.
I don't know what it... Whatever it is, Krishna's showing his mercy.
It's you. Yeah, you're the vehicle of Krishna's mercy there.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So anyway,
that's tremendous that they have trust in you. They wouldn't trust anyone.
It's the biggest loss. I think one of the biggest challenges we face in our movement is a general trust and love and faith in each other, or in our whatever it is, leadership, whatever it may be. It has to be, you can't just institutionalize it. It has to be there. It has to be there. It has to come from ultimately from our hearts that, we do have trust and faith. Our movement is based, we surrendered, or you're surrendering, everyone surrendered their life for Prabhupada because implicit faith and trust in Srila Prabhupada. Implicit. Mm. The devotees were willing to sacrifice anything for Prabhupada. Right? Anything. Well,
the devotees trust you because you come in at the ground level instead of coming in and trying to dictate, and you're just very, very simple and humble, and you're just there for service and nothing. I'm not saying that others weren't like that, but you've stuck there, and devotees are they're responding, because actually that's what the devotees don't want to be grousing all the time. They want to be happy and serve Krishna and have faith.
Yeah, we have hundreds and hundreds of older devotees who have just drifted away in France to Bodhimath or somewhere or another, for whatever different reasons. So many of them are, done such sterling service within Prabhupada's mission and still want to, even though they may have, for various reasons have realigned themselves. But their real heart is Prabhupada's mission, and so on, and in New Mayapur, because that's where they all lived, and they had Gurukul here. We're only talking about a Gurukul right now. We don't have any kids. We got about four family babies. We have several babies on the property now, three or four new couples with babies are living there. We have nowhere for them to live right now, hardly. So unless we fix up some more buildings and get permission to build more buildings, then we can hopefully get some Grihasthas living there with children and hopefully start a Gurukul again, which is a very important part of a community. Obviously, everyone knows that. So we're hopeful in the future. I don't know if we'll see it in my lifetime, but we're hoping that that will happen sometime in the near future. Young Grihasthas, we have a few young Grihasthas now showing dedication to stay in France. Help there. In Paris, we have a temple in Paris with originally Prabhupada installed the days in New Mayapur, Krishna Balaram, They're one of the only temple outside of Vrindavan, where Prabhupada installed Krishna Balaram and the whole of ISKCON, is New Mayapur. So Prabhupada personally installed the deities there. And they also had Gornitai installed before that. So Prabhupada also blessed that installation. And later on, they installed Radha Krishna there in New Mayapur. And in Paris, we have Radha Parasishwara, who were installed in 73 by Srila Prabhupada. And then they had Jagannath Baladev Subhadra before that in the little temple they had in Paris. And then later on, they installed big marble Gornitais. So we got three sets of deities in Paris. Until a few years ago, we had more deities than we had devotees. At least we have a few more devotees than we have deities now, at least a few. Enough we have now one traveling Sangatam party, four or five devotees who are full-time distributing books. And Harinam is going out an average of four times a week.
Wow. Jai.
Two times in Paris, two times in New Mayapur, in the local towns. And we have a nice little preaching center in Paris with some local devotees. They've developed it themselves. It's called, for the sake of registration, it's called Yoga Lyric, but they have a program every single day in the center of Paris, their little preaching program every day. And four or five new devotees have already joined from that program. So a little something's going on. We got congregation around the country and about maybe 10, 12 little congregations around the country now. And I could speak on many other things, but that's probably enough for now. This weekend, the Traveling Sangatam Party, I mean, they were doing, in a little town, they were doing book distributors. They stayed with some friends there, and they went to the, this is an example of how France is changing. They went to the park, and they took prasadam there for distribution. They sat there and did a little program. Four or five other people came and joined them. Then they had a kirtan back to the house they were staying in. And they had dozens and dozens of people dancing with them during the kirtan. Dozens, French people, just ordinary kids. So I think things are changing a little bit, not just this or that. But the opportunity, France has a tremendous potential for preaching. Tremendous. We're just very, very busy trying to, let's say, keep up with the past and try to repair things and keep the deity worship going. And et cetera, and deal with many issues from the past. There's not enough energy to really expand. We have a restaurant in the local town now, which is, of course, COVID made it very difficult, but it's still going. We're surviving somehow or another, and it's quite effective, quite good. People like the prasadam very much. We do a lot of catering programs. We did one recently, a big catering program. Lochinananda Prabhu, and some of you know him, he's professional cook. He's our co-president also. And he goes on whenever he can for catering with a team. And they had up to 200 or 300 people queuing up any one time for prasadam at the catering program, a big festival. They are very, people love prasadam in France. You just have to do it. If you don't do it, we don't find out. But there's same with book distribution. The book distribution, we go to the same place. You do more books the next time you go there than the previous time. It's kind of mystical.
Jai, that's a great sign.
It's a sign that the times are changing or could change in France, that the people are definitely, you know, they're new. There's a new generation. 40 years has passed. They're definitely open to Krishna consciousness. We just need more, you know, dedicated preachers. So I know because of the visa situation, because of COVID, because of language, many different things are there. Culture make it a little difficult for many, but even if you can't speak the language, you'd be surprised how many French kids now want to speak English. Sometimes they say, I want English, I don't want French.
Books,
yeah. Changed a lot from 40 years ago in that regards. Yeah, different to the mood and change a bit. Very good potential. I hope, let's see what the future holds. And as I say, we've been getting a lot of help from the Spanish Yatra, not money-wise, but in terms of support, in terms of encouragement, in terms of even working with the European Union in various ways. They're very connected in Spain to help us in France a little bit, and the British Yatra, and other devotees, Bhakti Vikash Maharaj and Shivaram Swami. Many devotees are encouraged to try to, you know, see how we can build up the French chapter again. Just a matter of time. I'm sure it will come. Very important yatra. At one point of time, it was understood the French yatra was one of the most important yatras in the ISKCON. Right? You remember that, Maharaj, in the 70s and early 80s?
Yeah. And France itself, internationally, is a very important country, a very influential country.
It is, even now. And there are many French-speaking countries in Africa, particularly, of course. But France itself still holds a very important part in the world. It's cultural capital in some cases of the Western world. You know, Leonardo da Vinci lived just up the road from New Mayapur. We go to the town where he was living. We do very nicely on book distribution. There we go right to his house and distribute books in front of the house where he used to live. He brought people to Prabhupada's lotus feet because of him. People come there and then they get books. He's also taken part in the Sankirtan movement. unknowingly, but somehow indirectly.
Prabhupada's mercy works backwards as well as forwards.
Absolutely.
In time.
Yeah, in time. It's beyond time. And generations are getting the benefit of this mercy of Sankirtan movement. Same in Malaysia. So many people are getting unknowing benefit from this movement, past, present, and future. And so many other things. Hare Krishna. Well,
Hare Krishna.
I guess that's it for now.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Very nice to hear about France as well.
Thank you for being there in Malaysia. You're sitting outside in the fields, Singhashwar. I can see the fields behind you there.
Is it actual or it's a backdrop?
That's a picture of our farm. I just came back to Kuala Lumpur yesterday.
Oh, you brought the cows with you?
Going to the farm on Wednesday again.
You can't live without the cows.
So, just one thing I want to say before we finish. Actually, two things. The first thing I want to say is, actually, three things. The first thing is, thank you very much. Very, 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 very much. La. Thank you very much, La. Right. The second thing I have to say is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the third thing I have to say is Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
Thank you, both of you, Maharaj, for coming and saving us in Malaysia. Thank you so much.
We slaved you. We didn't save you. We made you slave.
I remember very much how you used to come and you used to give us so many things, videos, all sorts of things, encouraging.
Yeah,
and you were there.
We saved you. We shaved you and we slaved you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, I think if we're all going to go offline. Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Something else, Maharaj?
Oh, so much, but we can go on all day. But let's leave it there. It's 2 hours have gone, and I'm sure.
Okay. Maybe another time. Another time. There are so many things. Definitely, devotees are very enlivened. Okay. So we'll finish there.
Together. Have a Sankirtan festival together. All together. Everyone come together with Prabhupada in the center. Chant the holy names, distribute prasadam, distribute books, more and more and more. All the problems will go away. There aren't any. They don't go away. You realize there aren't really any. They're just, you know, just.
We are missing Bhakti Vikas Maharaj's heaviness in Malaysia.
Heaviness, yeah. A bit of heaviness is good too.
Yeah.
You don't mean the weight. You mean his direction.
Heaviness, holiness.
His holiness, not his heaviness.
HH, heaviness, holiness. Yeah. That's a new one.
And his happiness. And his happiness. Well. His happiness. His happiness, Bhakti Vijendra Nandana Maharaj. He's one of the happiest.
Maharaj trained Sri Gauranga very well.
He what? Chastised him.
Siddhi Sri, they were the ones who used to get the
cream. Yeah. Get the stick. I mean, I'm sure Bhagavad Gita Kashmaj has already talked about.
And we forgot that Radhikatma.
Radhikatma, dear Radhi. Radhikatma G in New Zealand now. He's living in New Zealand. Yeah. Yeah, another one of those saintly souls who joined at the age of 16. He joined the Brahmacharya Ashram in KL. Yeah, just straight in there. Amazing. Yeah, Radhikatma, Sankirtan man. And I'm sure you've already told all the water sport stories from Taman Yarl. How we used to,
Yeah.
Colored dyes all over the place. Maharaj running around with a water hose, just squirting everyone down. And then we'd have buckets of dye throwing the devotees in the. I remember we would throw Sri Gauranga, and I won't say in what state he was in. He was in a very exposed state. We threw him in a bucket of blue dye or something.
Kaudang water, Maharaj.
Kaudang
water.
Dyed water also on occasions. Squirting dyed water at each other, running around, having roaring kirtans at the same time. The kirtans were wild, out of this world. Yeah. Celebrating the glories of the holy name. Right. Well, Lord Chaitanya used to have wild kirtans too. They would have really wild ones, maybe a little bit more transcendental than our ones, but there's this mood. You get Prabhupada said, well, sometimes you get an ecstasy. And when in ecstasy, what can you say? A kind of ecstasy, childlike ecstasy, where everything goes, nothing, you know, no bar, no, what do they call it? No harm, no bars.
No
bars, or something like that. Yeah, free reign. And it binds people. A little bit of that sometimes is required, and not just all, you know, let's say rule, regulation, stiffness is essential, but you know, sometimes a little bit of, we can say, transcendental Vaishnava sport or
madness.
You've got to be a bit mad to join the Hare Krishna movement, so we have to prove it from time to time. Hare Krishna, thank you, Maharaj.
Haribol.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare
Hare Rama
Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare
Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada ki
jai.
Thank you, Tan ki. Prihakuranda ki. Iskon Malaysia ki. Maharaj ki. All the devotees in Malaysia ki jai. All the devotees not in Malaysia ki jai. All the devotees wherever you are ki jai. Don't know where you are ki jai. Hare Krishna. At least you don't know where you are from the start. Jai.
His Holiness Jnanananda Goswami Maharaj ki
jai.
Hare Ram.
His Holiness Bhaktivinoda Swami Maharaj ki.
Preaching wherever you are. Don't worry about everything else. Just try to do your best and preach Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go,
Premananda.
Don't leave, Prabhupada said. Live. Don't leave. Live. Real life. Real life is in preaching. We have to do good sadhana and serve the Vaishnavas and maintain the temples, but we have to preach also. It's to support the preaching mission as well. Otherwise, we would not be able to preach nicely. Hare Krishna.